I too want to thank Cody for those songs, and thank God that he is here today. His spirit is heavy in here. And I want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Happy Father's Day. And today I just want to talk to, well, the fathers and not just the fathers, because I assume that we're all connected to a father some way here. If you are here, that means you either had a father or, well, you've had a father. So we've all had a father, or you wouldn't be here. And I know that just like Mother's Day is hard for some people, Father's Day is also hard for some people. Maybe you've had an abusive father. Maybe things haven't worked out. Maybe you've been separated from your children unwillingly, and that's hard. It's painful. But anyway, so today I just want to talk about fathers. I don't want to talk about my dad first, because I get to. My dad was very, my dad died, actually. I should start with that. My dad died on December 30, 1997, and yeah, that was a hard time, and I can't believe it was that many years ago, but he's still very special to me, and there's so many times when I'll look at Santa and oh, wouldn't Dad have loved this? He would have loved it. And so, you know, those are good things, and I'm really glad that I'm going to see him someday again. It's just a temporary separation from right now, and that's really good. But my dad was a very quiet man. He was a farmer. He farmed in Iowa, had a really big farm. He was a very hard worker. And he was not good at all at expressing his emotions. He never in his life ever said, I love you, to me. He never, ever gave me a kiss. And when he hugged me, they were very, very awkward hugs. But I knew in my heart that my dad really loved me. And I know my sisters, I have a sister that struggles with this. She goes, well, you know, how come Dad couldn't show his love? And it's true. There's so many expectations for fathers. Fathers can never quite do it all. And maybe for some people that's a hard thing. But I knew my dad, and I loved his humor. He was very funny, even though he was a man of very few words. He was so funny. He had a very good sense of humor, very dry. And every Sunday he went to church. There was no exceptions. You just go to church every Sunday, and he would take his whole family with him. He never had a son. We had just four girls in our family. And so I often wondered if, you know, how that would have changed him if he would have had a son to hang out with. However, Stan became his son. When he first entered our family, our family's kind of quiet. When Stan came into our family, I think they were all kind of like shell-shocked. It was like, wow, who's this guy? Just a little different from Canada. It was a whole different kind of culture coming into our little family there. And I think my dad just kind of sat back for a while and thought, who's this guy? But they became very close, which is really cool. And, when he left, when he died, he had cancer. He died when he was 68, and that was young. To me, that was just premature death. But anyway, I have very good fond memories of my dad, and I'm really glad I'm going to see him someday again. But anyway, as I was thinking about fathers, I just thought, you know, we all have fathers. We all have an earthly father. But you also all have a heavenly father. We all know that. And today, I just want to encourage you with a bunch of scripture. I found a bunch of verses that mean a lot to me about fathers. And because I think sometimes, in this world especially, there's so many, the family is so split up. Fathers have lost their importance. I think that God intended fathers to be respected and loved, and at the same time for fathers to love others, to really be the provider, but also the person in the family who just kind of pulled them all together. And I think that's, sin has just pulled that apart. And especially in today's world, there's just so much brokenness that there's just a lot of pain with fathers these days. But God is our Heavenly Father, and He keeps saying, I'm still your Father. I'm your rock. I'm never going to change. You can always count on me. And so I think we all of us, need to just look at who a father is. So I'm going to start with 1 John 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. Let's remember that. We are children of God. We're children of God. He's our Father. All right. Psalm 103. And I was just going to read a couple verses, and I kept reading, and I go, no, I have to read a few more. So I'm going to read quite a few verses of Psalm 103, and starting with verse 2, it says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His, God's, benefits, our Father's benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. And I'm just going to stop there for a second, because sometimes that's what we want our dads to do. We want our dads to satisfy our desires. We want our dads to fill those holes. We want our dads to be proud of us and to show us off. And sometimes that just plain doesn't happen. But you know what? Our Heavenly Father does all of these things. All of these things. The Lord works righteousness and justice for the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children. I'm going to read that again. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. Isn't that great? Those are good words. For He knows how we are formed, and He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And in its place remembers it no more. That's the truth. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him. Such good words. Okay, and then I'm going to flip back to Psalm 68, verses 4 to 6, where it says, sing to God, sing praise to His name, extol Him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord. He is our Father. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing. And that's what I'm going to put there. And then 1 John 4. No, 1 John 5, verse 14, says this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that we, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have whatever we ask of Him. Now, if we just take all of those little things that we just read, there's just a few passages from a whole book that's full about who God is. Isn't that amazing? We have a Father who loves us. He has compassion on us. He is our rock. He's never going to change. He's not like our earthly fathers that sometimes mess up. He's never going to do that. So I just want to ask the fathers a couple questions here. This is earthly fathers or fathers, maybe you never had children of your own, but maybe you're a spiritual father to someone else. Do you love your children? Do you? Do you love the children that go against your will, that don't love you back? Do you love them? Okay. Have you been able to show the love of the Father to your children? All right, I just thought, you know what? We have a father who is a great model for us, but also this. I'm going to read one more passage, Romans 8, verse 16. And it says this, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And then verse 31 to 34 says this, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. All right, and we know that if God is in us, then we will be able to be good fathers. We will be able to share that love with others. So, and maybe there's some fathers today who regret things they've done in the past. Maybe there's some things that you just say, oh man, if I could just go back in time and if I could just change that. You know, God continues to say, you know what? I am here, and guess what? You can even work to changing that. I totally believe that when God is in us, that he can change us. I'm reading this book in school. It's not even a Christian book. It's just called Mindset. And it talks about how there's some people in this world who believe they just have this mindset that this is how things are. This is how it's always. I've always done this. I'm going to do it. I'm always going to be this way. I'm always going to do this. This is how I've been made. And that's called a fixed mindset. But there's also a different way to look at things. It's called the growth mindset, where you say, here's what I am. I'm putting this in because it's not in the book. What does God want in my mind? What does he want in my mind? Will he change me? Can he change me? Will he help me to become a better father? Would he help me to reconcile what's gone wrong in the past? And again, we know the answer to that. The answer is, of course he was. That is what he wants. He wants to reconcile. He wants holy relationships. And so I just thought about that today. I just thought, you know what? I bet there's not a father in this world who doesn't have some kind of regret, some kind of thing like, oh man, I could have done that better. And so I just really felt strong that God wanted me to say, to have those men stand. If you want, I'm going to pray for the fathers. That's what I'm going to do. So stand up. If you're a dad, if you've got some things in your life that you would like to change, that you would like to be a better dad, that you would like more of God's strength in your life, please stand up. And I also would like people that have been abused by their dad, and today you've got a sour mouth in you've got a sour taste in your mouth, and you're going, you know what? I am having a hard time loving my dad today. I would like you to stand up. And I just really believe that we just need to pray about this. So I'm going to start. I don't know if somebody else wants to pray to you. I don't care. I just felt like God wants to deal with this. He does not want us to stay where we are. He says, I am going to help you. I'm going to help move you. I'm going to help change you. But you have to stand up. You have to be willing to change. And so I'm going to start praying. If there's anybody else wants to pray, fine. If not, then I'll close. So God, I just stand here before all these people, Father. And God, I just first of all want to thank you for who you are. God, we can't even begin to imagine what kind of a father you really are. We have a glimpse of it. We have little tastes here and there, Father. But sin has so broken even that relationship with you, God, that we don't have. We just have an imperfect taste of who you are. And God, I want to just praise you this morning for who you are. God, I thank you that we can look to you because you are interceding for us. You are at the throne, Lord. You are helping us to become better fathers. Lord, you are helping us to be able to face the fathers that have hurt us. God, you've been with us. You are interceding for us right now to cause great unity in families. And so, Father, I pray today that you will pour out your Spirit in this church. God, that your Spirit will fall on these people, Lord, because we need a breath of fresh air from you. Lord, we need to change. We all do. Our hearts need to change, God. I pray for those people, Father, who have been abused by their dads. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will heal those hurts in their hearts, God, that you will touch them, Father, that they may see their dads through your eyes. God, help them, help there to be able to be forgiveness there. Father, I just pray that in Jesus' name. I thank you for all the fathers who are following you, Lord, who are walking in your paths, God, and I just pray that you will encourage them and lift them up. And Father, for those regrets that we've had along the way, God, I pray that there will be healing in our hearts, God, and that we may truly put our hands in yours so that you may lead us to become better fathers even, modeled totally after you, who graciously gave your only son to die. And so, God, I thank you for all of these things, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So thank you, God, for today. Amen. And so, men, be blessed today. Be blessed, dads. Be blessed. Amen. And God, I just pray right now that you will continue this service, that you will, that you open our hearts, that you will open Stan's mouth, that you open his heart to hear you, Lord, so that he may spread that the good news to us. And Lord, help us to be ready to hear this. And God, thank you that your spirit is here this morning and that we can rest in you. I just praise this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God is so good, and it's, you know, he's here and moving and reminding us of his great love. He loves us so much. The Bible says that when I'm weak, you know, then he is strong, and I feel that particularly today. It's just a weakness in me. I don't know, you know, we get days like that. I'm sure I'm not the only one. You get days like that too, so just pray that God's strength will come even through my weakness. And I've already heard so many things today that have just gripped my heart and just moved me. You know, what kind of a father that we have who loves us so much that he sent his only son? I mean, are you kidding me? He only had one son, and he sent him, and he had his son die so that we could live. And that he loves us so much. He loves us so much. Thank you, Jesus. I know that some of you know every one of us has a story. Every one of us has gone through some hard things. There's some people, I look at you in particular today, I know you're going through some real struggles, and it's been a hard time. It's been a hard week. There's been some incredibly crazy things that are going on. There's all kinds of lies out there. The enemy is a liar, and he just keeps breeding more lies. I think that God would just say to us today, take courage. Don't be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. All you need to do is tell the truth. And the truth will always rise to the surface. And you don't need to worry about what man says about you. What you need to do is just live for me. Don't be afraid of the lies. Don't be afraid of the slander or what man says about you, because none of that matters. All that matters is what I think of you. And I think you are something great. I think that you're worthy of my love, and I want to love you so much. I want to have a relationship with you. But what I really want from you is I want you to need me in your life. And that's the message that God is going to bring us today. It's about need. Do you really need God? I mean, really? Do you really need God or not? I'm glad there was a few that said absolutely. That's good. Over the last number of weeks, we've been looking at a story about a father, a story of the prodigal son, and you know what a great example of a father. I never really thought about that 2 months ago, that, oh, this will really lead in good to Father's Day. I didn't know at the time whether this was going to be 2 or 3 sermons or 13 to 15 sermons. I never know. It just depends on really how the Holy Spirit leads me in that. But what a great example of a father that father was, that he loved his son, and not just his son, he loved both of his sons. Even though they were completely different kinds of people, 2 different sons, he loved them both. And that he has such a passion for the son who goes away. And we've had that picture in our minds week after week of this father who he's just looking, you know, he's got this, he's resolutely looking down the fence line, waiting for his boy to come home. And when his boy starts to come home and he sees this little dust trail, you know, the father just starts running, we're told. And he ran to his son. That's a pretty good example of a father, don't you think? Yeah? A father who loves with that kind of intensity, that kind of abandon. You know, I don't know about you, but I think if it was me, I know I've been in, you know, what Crystal said, talking about some of the mistakes we've made and repenting of that. I can think of times in my life when I wasn't nearly as gracious with my boys. Times when I thought they needed to change and they needed to do this before you get this. And, you know, You know what I'm talking about? Like I could see myself have been a father in that story going, well, just wait a minute, mister. You know, there'd be a mister involved in this stop statement. Just wait a minute, mister. If you think you're coming back home and that everything's going to be just fine and dandy, you got a few things coming. I got to tell you something that you're going to have to prove yourself around here first. This father doesn't do that at all. He doesn't say you have to prove yourself. He doesn't say, you know what, I can't trust you. After what you've done, I'm not going to be able to trust you for a long time. Maybe sometime I'll be able to trust you again. I mean, isn't this great that God looks at us? I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense because the truth is I'm not trustworthy. And yet God says, I trust you. You're my son. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to put you to a place that you don't deserve because that's called grace. And it's because I love you. And I've got a position for you, and I've got something for you to do. Here's some amazing news. I want you to build my kingdom for me. What? I want you to build my kingdom for me. I want to use you. I want to use the gifts that I've given you. I want you to build my kingdom with me. Thank you. Isn't that good? Thank you, Lord. Last Sunday, we talked about the Holy Spirit and how that at just the right time in Galatians 4, it says just the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And we celebrated that last week. You remember that? We celebrated that I get to receive the full rights of sons. I am a son of the living God. He looks at me, he says, that's my boy, or that is my daughter. I am a son of God. And that one of, maybe the most important, in fact, rights that I can declare and I can claim is the right of the Holy Spirit. That when I, as a son of God, say, fill me with your Spirit right now, God, I have the right to ask that. I can approach the throne of God with boldness. And because I am a son of God, he endows me with his Holy Spirit. Amen? Thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit. And I know that you're sensing that Spirit is here today, that he is moving and he's encouraging us. He's building us up as fathers. He's taken some of us who've really had hard times going through depression or struggles or relationship breakdowns or you know, sometimes it's just circumstances that happen in our lives. And he wants you to know he loves you and he's going to take care of this. Are you hearing that? He's going to take care of this. God is in control. He's going to meet whatever that need is. I want to read this morning, and I don't want to be too long here today because we have a barbecue or we're eating right out here, I believe. We're not going to go to the park because we don't know what the weather's going to be like, but you're all invited to stay and have a hot dog. Enjoy. You know, there's going to be some other desserts and salads, so I promise I'm not going to go too long. I so appreciate what Crystal said. I got to tell you, sometimes it's like pulling teeth to get her to come up and do this. I said, you got to do this. You got to speak today. I know that God wants you to speak. And she goes, oh, no, he doesn't. He doesn't. I said, yes, he does. Don't be disobedient. You ask him, I said. You ask him. So she asked him. She said, okay, God wants me to speak. I said, well, speak. You know, like she doesn't, don't ever think that she comes to me and says, hey, can I get a turn again? That never happens. It's like, it's with reluctance that she comes. That's okay. Okay, if I'm going to really do this in less than 25 minutes, we're going to have to move on here. So let's read again in Galatians 4. And I'm going to start reading with verse 4. Galatians 4, verse 4. When the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, and the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years, and I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. Whew, those are hard words, and that's where we're going to end. And some of us have been in ministry before, or you've worked with people before. You try to help people to come to Jesus, and sometimes they do, and then they go away. you probably felt the same way that Paul feels in this particular passage when he's talking to the Galatians and he's really disappointed. He's saying, you know, you're free. I'm telling you about a message of freedom. You're no longer slaves to your sin, but you keep going back to it. And you keep going back to that old way. And I'm thinking maybe I've wasted my time, he said. Maybe I'm even wasting my time with you. Because for a while you follow God, for a while you give your heart to Jesus and you walk the walk, but for some reason you go back where you don't belong. I want to just spend a little time looking at that this morning. And going back, really in context, back to the story of the prodigal son, and back to that one line in the prodigal son where it says that there was a famine in the land. Remember that? There's a famine in the land, and that he found himself, the prodigal son, found himself to be in need. Let's think about those words. He found himself to be in need. The lost son found himself. There's kind of an irony there if you think about it. The lost son found himself to be in need because he had nothing to eat and he was starving to death. And it's that, I guess I want to just start off by saying that it's that need that drove him back to the Father. Right? It's that if he didn't have that need, if he was just doing all right or making pretty good coin and still hanging out with his buddies, if he still had money in his pocket, if he wasn't hungry, if he didn't have that need, he wouldn't be going back to God. He wouldn't be going back to his Father, his Abba. How important, think about it, how important it is that we have those needs, that we absolutely, there are needs in our lives that without those needs, we would never be drawn to God. Without the absolute needs in our lives, we wouldn't reach out for Jesus Christ to change our lives unless we recognize that something needed to be changed. That need, even though it's hard in our lives, real desperate need, real hard things in our lives is so important because God uses it to draw us to Him. And all of us have gone through those times of need before. You sit in an oncologist's office, and you sit in need. Or you find yourself back with your abusive husband or boyfriend and you find yourself in real big trouble and you're in need again. We know what need is. And the message today begins with just this little thing about that you need to get. We need to understand today that God uses need to bring us to Him. You understand that? That the need that you have even right now that you're maybe struggling with, that God wants to use that so that you are absolutely and entirely desperate for Him and not for anything else. God uses the needs in our lives. You know, we go, oh, these are terrible needs. I hate this. I don't want this. God goes, oh, I'm so glad you have it. And I'm gonna keep giving it to you so that you'll come to me and so that you'll be so desperate to hold on to me. Right? We need that. The difference between the two brothers is that the one was entirely in need and the other didn't need anything, right? The older brother, he had it all together. You know, he had a job. He didn't need any money. He didn't need any relationships. Everything was just cool in his life, but he didn't have a relationship with his dad and he wasn't close to God that we can tell. But the younger brother, he had nothing. He needed everything. He needed food. He didn't have any friends anymore. His relationship with Abba was severed. He needed so much, and it was, the Bible says, it was when he recognized his need, let me say that again, when he recognized his need, he returned to the Father. I don't know what you're needing in your life. I run into many of you throughout the week, and sometimes we have coffee, or I just get a text, or I hear this, or I hear that, but I know there's lots of needs. I know there's lots of hurts and brokenness. And I know sometimes we do that. We take that big, deep breath, you know. Oh, God, take this need away. When really what he's saying to us is, you know, I'm using this need so that you get as close to me as possible. But know this, too, that, and I want to make this distinction. I think it's important that there's a difference between being in need and being needy. And that there's a lot of people that are just needy, but they're not really in need of Jesus. They're just needy. They're manipulative. They find ways to borrow $20, you know, or do this for me, or, you know, they know how to work the system. They're con artists. I'm going to say something that might be offensive, and you won't be surprised. I've done that before, but I'm going to try to explain this a little bit, but I'm going to say it first, that I'm just really glad that the prodigal son, when he was in that far-off country, and when he was feeding the pigs, and when he was starving to death, I'm glad he didn't qualify for Aish. And now, get me right here. It isn't that I think Aish is bad. There are some people, some of you here are getting Aish, or you're getting some kind of government help. And many, I got to make this very clear, otherwise I'm going to get letters and emails. Many, many people need the help and need the assistance that our government gives them, but many, many others do not. And what it does for so many people is it makes them needy, but not in need. Okay? And there's a difference. It takes away, for some people, their dignity. It takes away their motivation when they get this check every month. And they just keep waiting for it. And when the 26th comes around, it's like, oh, that's what their hope is. You know, as soon as that comes. And it bails me out of the desperation I'm in. And that's the problem with this help that people are getting, is that you get just enough help to remain needy. But you never get to the point where you're so desperate that the only one who can help me is my God. That the only one who can set me free is Jesus. Not sure I agree with this guy, but I'm going to clap a little bit. You know, it's not just the government checks, but it's so many other things too. There is a difference between being needy and being in need. Being in need is a really good thing, and let me try to explain it. It has to do with the object of our need. If I'm needy, then I am the object. I am needy. You got 20 bucks? I could sure use. You got a toonie? That would make my day. That would just change things, you know? I'm needy. Needy people whine a lot, and they manipulate, and they try to churn things to their favor. It's all about me. I'm the object of the need. Get that? On the other hand, the object of being in need is Jesus. He is who I need. You get that? It's not me. It's not that I need this and I want to try to orchestrate this or choreograph this thing. No, it's all about Jesus. I need Jesus. And we need to get to that point. We need to get to the point where I'm not needy. I'm not needy. You know, if you're needy, I got to tell you something. That never ends. You're needy. You're going to be needy tomorrow. You're going to be needy on Tuesday. You're going to always be needy. It never ends. It's a revolving door. But if you are in need and Jesus fills that, he is the one who fills that need, you will never want again. Never. Thank you, God. Yeah. Okay, you know, like I said, I don't mean to offend, but I believe that we need to start proclaiming a message that there's so much more, we have so much more to offer than anyone else because we have his word of truth and we have the Spirit of God who lives in us. We have something that we can offer to people and that they are going to not thirst ever again, Jesus said. You drink of me, you'll never thirst again. Why are we not telling people that? Why are we settling for watching them live their lives, needy lives, never being fulfilled, never finding that their fulfillment and their satisfaction is in the name of one individual, and that is the Son of God, Christ Jesus. You see, Paul was as frustrated as I am. And what he says to the Galatians, he's telling them about the amazing wonder of the freedom. He says, you're set free. Do you believe that? You're really set free? That when Christ enters your heart, you're no longer a slave to that sin? You are set free. You are like a son. And you have the full right of sons. Hallelujah. You got the right to have the Spirit of God inside of you. And then he goes this, but now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back on those weak and miserable principles? How does it happen that you're going back to that old life? How does it happen that you choose slavery over freedom? Why would you do that? And he's frustrated. He says, it feels like I've been wasting my time on you. You're going back, and in this case, for the Galatian church, they're going back to the old ways of Judaism, the old ways of the law and the rituals and the traditions, and they're saying that's the stuff that's really important, and Christ crucified and the blood of Jesus, that was not too important anymore, And Paul is angry, and he says, why would you go back to that? And that's the question. It's a good question. And you know what? It's really the question that doesn't get asked in the story of the lost son. The parables are full of, this parable is full of all kinds of questions. We ask things like, will the father keep loving him? And when will the son return? And will that older brother, here's a question, will that older brother ever really forgive his younger brother and treat him as part of the family? Lots of questions come up out of the prodigal son. Here's the one, though, that we don't dare ask. And that's the question, do you think he's going to make it? You think he's going to stay with his father? You think that he will keep on needing dad? Because here's the problem, and those of you who've worked in ministry, you've worked with people, you know that people are such a challenge. I've got to be careful how I say all this stuff here, but you know, we're dull. I say we, I'm including me, we're dull, not that bright. We're prone to wander. We know this. We know that not every prodigal who returns home, not every prodigal who comes back to father, not every prodigal who says, dad, I have sinned against you, not every one of them remains home. That for some of them, the reality is that for some of them, one day they wake up sitting next to their dad and they go, you know, dad, I think I need to go and check on those pigs. I'll be back. I won't be long. I got a few friends back in that country too, and I'm going to be gone for a bit. I got to check on those pigs because I spent a lot of time with them, and I have some old friends that I'd like to just look up. And the question is today, why in the world do we go back to the pigs? And you know, some of you should be doing this because you've been doing it. You've done it many times in your life. We go to God, and then we go back to the pigs. And then we get convicted, and we get on our knees, and we repent, and then we go to God, and we go back to the pigs. And it's because we insist, we make a choice. Let's get this straight. This is not something that God does to you. You make a choice when you go back to the pigs. And I'm not saying that this prodigal son went back to the pigs. We don't know where he goes. We can kind of, Jesus doesn't give us that part of the story. We can ask that question. But let me read this to you from Peter. I don't know if you can get it on the screen or not, but in 2 Peter chapter 2, listen to these words. If a man, for a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. You hear that? You are a slave to whatever masters you. It could be the bottle. It can be the casino. It can be that abusive husband. If he's mastering you and he's owning you and he's got you under his thumb, you are a slave to that, and you choose that. Sorry, Jason. I know, he's a wonderful husband. And it is the truth. I know, and I'm glad you clapped because you're right. Yeah, you have been there. Thank you. Yeah. And you're a slave to it, right? That's what it's saying here. This sets you free. Preach it. Amen. Now just listen to the rest of this. For if they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and if they are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than that they were at the beginning. In other words, if you've received Christ, you come to him, you've made a commitment, or you started going to church, and then you quit, and you go back to that old life again, you are worse off. Man, it would have been better if you never would have done it in the first place. And I'm not making that up, because he says that that's the next thing he says. He says, so that in the beginning, they are worse off than they were in the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the most sacred command that was passed on to them. Wow. And then he goes on, he says this, of them, the proverbs are true. He gives us two proverbs. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. That's what it's like. When you turn your back on Jesus, when you decide that you're going to live your own life and that you don't need him anymore, when you one day wake up and go, you know, I got to go check out those pigs. It's been a while. and you know, for you, the pigs might be crack, or it might be being successful, or being popular or having a blast or partying, whatever it is, when you or when I, we say, I need to go back to the pigs, we are doing like the dog who is going back to his vomit. And we are being like the sow, and I love that picture, the sow who, what does it say? The sow who is washed and has to get washed again. Let me just read that one more time because that's a crazy picture. And I think it's meant for us to laugh at it. He says, it's like a sow that is washed and it goes back to her wallowing in the mud. And the question I have when I read that Proverbs, the sow who is washed and goes wallowing in the mud, the question I have is, who washes their sow? I mean, think about it. I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know, Chad. But I mean, honestly, what hog farmer washes his sow? Because I've known a lot of hog farmers, and Crystal's dad, she told you about it, he never washed the sows. And by the way, it says he returns to the mud. That's some mud, you know, with little, that's not mud on the sow, okay? That is not mud. And you know, can you imagine that a farmer says to the other farmer, they're standing next to each other, and the guy goes, what are you going to do today? Well, he says, I got a sow that's got some mud on it, so I might just clean her up a little bit, right? I mean, no one's going to do that, right? And the point is, you know, the point is really this, that maybe it's time, and hear me today, but hear God's word today, maybe it's time that we stopped washing the sow. Maybe it's time that you stop bouncing back and forth between following Jesus and going after the pigs. Maybe it's time that we stop washing the sow and we start waking up and smelling that that's hog crap. That's really what it is. It's nothing but that. And that we can't live that way and please God. There is one thing that distinguishes between the two brothers, and that one thing is the need that the younger brother had for God, or for his father, for Abba. I want to present that to you today, that whatever the need is in your life, whatever the need is in my life, it's to draw me to God. And it's a good thing. Don't look at that need and think it's such a terrible thing, or that it's always sent by the enemy. It may not be at all. It may be God saying, I'm giving you this particular need. For Paul, it was a thorn in the flesh. I'm giving this to you so that you get right under my arm and so that you stay out of the pig pen. It's time that you stop washing sows, because you know what? They just keep getting dirty again. It's about need. And so here's the question. Do you really, really need Jesus? I asked you that in the beginning, and a lot of you went, yeah, you said absolutely. Let me ask it again. Don't be too quick here. Do you really need Jesus? Yeah. Yeah. But do we, here's another question. Do we live like we need him? Are you really desperate for him? Well, I'm glad. I want to hear that. But are we really, is it really true for all of us? Because God gave me this kind of a prophetic word. And while I was working on a message this week, he said, you know, don't say that you're desperate for me. Don't claim that you need me with all of your heart, or that I am the very, very air that you breathe. Don't claim it if you don't have time for me. Don't claim it. Don't say that you need me when you need everything else but me. Then don't say that. I don't want to hear it in my ears that you need me when there's no evidence of it in your life. Don't say you need me. When you spend more time with a toothbrush in your mouth than you do praying on your knees before me, then don't say you need me. Don't say you need me. And when you come to this place, are you coming because you want to be here, or you ought to be here, or it might be a good thing to be here, or are you coming here because you need to be here? I need to be here too, Kim. Do you really, really need me? How much time are you spending in prayer? I mean, honestly, let's be honest. Don't answer the question because you'll be embarrassed. We'll all be embarrassed probably, but I mean, are we really spending time in concerted prayer? Are we really crying out to God? Are we really wanting to know him? Or is it just a couple of little snap, give me this, give me that, bless this, bless him, and I'm on my way here, God. My phone is ringing. I want to try something this morning. I want to show you. I never know how to work this thing. I want to show you what 3 minutes of prayer is. We're going to sit for, I wonder if we can do it. And then that's a sad thing to say. I'm sorry, it's sad. I wonder if we can do 3 minutes. I wonder if we can sit still here, if all of us here, can we sit still for 3 minutes and pray without going to the bathroom or getting some water or doing something else? Can we actually pray for 3 minutes? Because that's how long we have a toothbrush in our mouths. Let's try it. Let's see what 3 minutes is. Everyone pray, starting now. That's 3 minutes. And it's not easy, is it? That's about the time frame of a commercial break in between the shows that we watch. And you know what? The only point I'm really trying to make is, do you really need Jesus? Are we honestly, truly desperate for him? Are you really desperate for him? Is he all that you are holding on to? You know, we have this tendency that he throws us a rope. We're drowning in all the wonderful water, you know, analogies that we sang about. He throws us this rope, and we're in the flood, and he starts to save us. He pulls us back out, and we're just so glad that we're saved, and then we let go of the rope. We think, I'm okay now. I think I can swim the rest of the way, right? Do you really desperately need Jesus? Or are we, yeah, we sure better, because he's all we got. He's all we've got. I remember what it was like in my life I remember what it was like living for a number of years without that closeness of Jesus in my life, without really needing him or thinking I didn't need him. I remember what that was like. I'll tell you today, I am never going back to that. And that is the resolve that God's word, that's the response we need to have. Have that kind of resolve, saying, I'm not going back. I am not going back to that pig pen. I'm not going back to those grimy little critters. I know you love them, but they're still pigs. I am not going back. I am not going back to clean up that sow because it's just going to get dirty again. I need you, Jesus. Amen? Terry Lynn, would you come up here? I'm sorry, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but and if you really don't want to come up, you don't have to, but I'd like you to come up so I can pray for you, okay? Because I want to end with this. This is Terry Lynn. We love her. We've been praying for you. It's okay. You don't need to be afraid. That's good. Can I ask a couple questions?
Yeah.
All right. We talked yesterday on the phone,
yeah.
Right? You told me about a prayer you made. Can you tell us about that prayer?
Christ, and I need to start today.
Yeah.
I need to get rid of my abuse.
Yes.
That I'm living. I can't do it anymore.
Yep. Yep.
I need Jesus in my life.
Yes.
I'm not willing to do it anymore.
Mm. That's good. You can't do it anymore.
I know.
No.
And I'm not.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm getting help. As we speak.
Okay. That's awesome. You know what? God loves you so much.
I know.
Yeah. And he wants you, listen to me, he wants you no longer to be needy, but to be just in need of him.
Yes.
Did you get that today?
I did get that today, totally.
Good. That's really, really good. And I'm just going to say this out loud because I don't think we're going to hide anything. We're not hiding nothing. You're in an abusive relationship.
Very much so.
Yep. You get beaten?
Yeah, but he threatened my life today.
Yep.
And he's destroying my house right now. My materialistic things are nothing.
That's right.
I need my heart back. I need love.
Come up here, Kristen. You come, please. Okay. We're going to pray for you because this is what God's message today is all about. This is what we're talking about. So God wants us to say. So I'm going to pray, and Crystal's going to pray. All right? So, Lord, thank you that Terry Lynn's here, and I know that she's given her heart to you, and you are filling her with your spirit. She is a daughter of the King. She is precious in your sight. She has great value, and because of that, she has the right to ask for the Holy Spirit to fill her. Right now, do that, Spirit of God, and deliver her from the drugs, deliver her from the partying and everything else, God. I don't need to even speak it. We're not going to speak it. Just deliver her from her past, God. No more pig pens. No more pig pens. No more going back. No more. Just going to follow you, Jesus, and hold on to you. Hold on to that life rope. We hold it on. Hold on with all of our power, all the faith that you give us. And I just pray for Terry Lynn that you're going to encourage her right now and that something different is going to happen in her life. Right now as we speak, this is a moment of transition right now. This is a moment, a new beginning in her life.
Yes,
no more. No more treating herself poorly. No more of all the things that have been going on in her life. But knowing that she's a daughter of Jesus, a daughter of the King. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
God, you are the God of all hope. You are the only one who offers true hope.
Amen.
And God, I pray that Terry Lynn will know that. She will know that today, God. And that she will just accept this freedom, God, and that it won't be about just getting out of this situation, but Lord, it will be about her life. Lord, you have such a great plan for her, God, and I pray that you will just show her. You will show her, Father. And God, in Psalm 62, it says, you are my fortress, I will never be shaken. God, I pray that she may hang on to you.
Yes.
You are our fortress.
Desperately.
And she does not need to be shaken, Lord, because when we hang on to you, that's all we need.
Amen.
And so I just thank you for her today, too, Lord. Give her strength. Make her strong in you. Amen.
Amen. I want you just to remember, I think what Crystal said was really important. I'm going to just make sure you understood it, that This isn't just about you getting out of trouble, okay? You know that, right? Like, sometimes people do that. They just want to get out of this particular trouble that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. I love you. God loves you. Cody's going to sing some song that God's leading her to sing. And you know what? If there's anyone else here today who you're going in your heart, you're saying, I need Jesus. I really need Jesus. And I've been going down the wrong road. I've been back in that pig pen again. I'm going to ask maybe Elvin and Kathy, would you come up and can you pass that little baby off to Rick or someone else? And Crystal and I, we're going to pray for you today. It's time for you to really need him and be desperate for him and to cry out the name of Jesus. And we're going to just pray because there's some people here today. You know there's time. It's time. Something needs to give. Something needs to change in your life. So why don't you lead us, Cody? And if you're not coming up, pray. Just pray for us. Pray for the ones who will come up.
Thank you, Jesus. You're all I want. You're all I need. You're everything. You're everything. You're all I want. You're all I need. You're everything. You're everything.
Without you, and every breath I take.